Static Radio is KLYT Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Los Alamos. The Static Radio grid in New Mexico is K201BJ, Alamogordo, 88.5 FM, K218AK, Artesia, 88.1 FM, K207CQ, Gallup, 89.3 FM, K211CW, Hobbs, 90.1 FM, K201CC, Las Cruces, 88.1 FM, K229AL, Cuesta, 93.7 FM, K250AB, Roswell, 97.9 FM, K220CE, Ruidoso, 91.9 FM, K212EH, Silver City, 90.3 FM, Colorado Grid, K214DE, Antonito, 90.7 FM, K293AO, Alamosa, 106.5 FM, and worldwide at MyStaticRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Devo.
Yep. Why would you hit that?
I don't know. I can't hear myself at all.
At all?
It's a good song. No, I can't hear myself.
Pressing
can you
turn
buttons. Me up?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Check.
Not like.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you plug them in?
They're plugged in, yeah.
There you go.
Hey, much better.
Hey.
I'm used to like my noise canceling, comfy, yeah. Keep my ear warm headphones.
Right.
I don't have those, so I've got to turn it up.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It is Shock Therapy Live. Steve Owen, Pastor Nate Heitzig joining you. And if you have never tuned in for this show, it's your therapy session.
Yeah.
It's a call-in show centered around you. Maybe you're dealing with something. Maybe you, relationship situation, any life situation, really. Something's going on. You were at church this week and something flipped your brain and you're kind of wondering what the heck's going on. And you just need some help. You need to talk to somebody.
Maybe you saw Miley Cyrus twerk and you just want to
mind blown,
burn your
just,
eyes.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, so, what do I do? I'm right, having nightmares right. of giant teddy bears eating me.
Ugh.
And, man.
We're here to help.
Yeah.
We are here to help.
We're here to answer the big questions of life.
Or maybe you're confused because the current trends are so out there that you just don't understand what twerking is. We have a webcam later in the show. If it gets bad enough, Nate is going to teach you what that looks like.
Only if I have foam fingers.
I have missed this show. We've been broadcasting live at the New Mexico State Fair, so we've had to like pack up early and roll out there. So the last couple weeks, we've had some best ofs playing.
So that explains the 15 pounds you and Matt gained.
Yes, exactly. Dude, the food out there was insane.
Dude, it's gnarly.
Deep fried everything.
Yeah.
This year, the new edition, I think the most popular was deep fried Nutella. And it was just a like scoop, ice cream scoop of Nutella. Just fried.
People literally just want to die.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, will you please clog my arteries? Because I'm not fat enough, so give me some of that fried Nutella. Yeah.
Essentially, it's
oh
like,
my gosh.
Dude, we really, how do we get these guys, how do we trick these people into eating like rat poison? Deep fry it, bro.
The thing
eat
is, you don't have to trick them. They're like, give me the rat.
Really nasty. Saw a lot of crazy foods. Caleb, who runs the Mix ABQ, our skate park here, he came out and joined us for a day broadcasting live out there. And homie had a 12-inch corn dog. It was the biggest corn dog I've ever seen in my life. And he inhaled that thing and like, 3 minutes.
Oh my!
It was
gosh.
Disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah. So, saw some nasty foods out there. I'm a little scarred.
You know, there's no flattering way to eat a corn dog.
Right.
There's no good way to eat a corn dog.
I corn on the cob that bad boy.
Yeah,
I just turn it sideways,
too.
And you just like around the stick. Yeah, that's the
around
way
the dog.
Yes, that's the way I roll. Actually, that's not true at all.
I'm not going to talk about this. Done with that conversation.
505-338-3700 is the phone number.
Came in like a wrecking ball.
Or facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. If you would like to chime in. Or, you know, if you'd like to keep it anonymous, we do get some pretty heavy questions. If you would like to keep it anonymous, I promise we will keep you. We will keep you anonymous if you email us studio@mystaticradio.com. But send in your questions. We've got a few, considering we, you know, have had some best ofs the last couple weeks. We've got some serious questions. And,
let's pop some tags.
You ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hey, guys. So I have a question for shock therapy, and I have a friend of mine who had an abortion, and she is torn up about it.
Okay.
She says she should have kept it, but was afraid of a lot of things that came with that. She's really depressed and hurting, and I'm just looking for anything that I can tell her to lift her up out of this. She is a Christian, but has been falling away from the Lord, and I'm just trying to help bring her back. I have to work, so I won't be able to hear this live if you get to it today. But if not, I'm sure you guys can sometime. I wish to be anonymous for her sake. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
So how do you help a friend?
Well, here's what I know. Scripture talks plainly about brokenheartedness, talks about the broken and the contrite, and it sounds to me like she's full of remorse. She hates the decision she made, and as cheesy as it sounds, there's this really almost Christianese way to put it, but I heard a pastor a few weeks ago say, Craig Rochelle was talking, and he said, you can't unsin, but you can repent. And it sounds like she is broken. She is not stoked on the decision she made, obviously. We have friends who made that choice, whether in high school or college or whatever, who have regretted it. And it was something that ate at them so much so that they didn't think that they could continue or that God could love them or that. And the good news is we don't serve a God who just thumb squashes us and smites us and says, well, you sinned, so you're screwed up, and so we're done with this conversation.
Yeah.
We serve a God of restoration, of redemption, and I would point her to those places. If she's repentant, I would ask, have you repented of this? I mean, is this something obviously that's tearing you up so much so that you're not eating, you're not sleeping, you're falling into depression? Have you taken it to the Lord? If, you know, she says she's a Christian, so have you taken it to God? Have you repented of that? Have you asked for forgiveness from that? And then how do you begin to repair that? Well, you can't focus on it, because when you focus so much so on a hurt that you don't really see anything else around you, it becomes selfishness.
Yeah.
You're just focused on your own hurt and your own pain. You got to try and move past that. I think of some resources immediately, AspenProject.org being one of them. Clay Schroff comes in here every single Thursday, him and his wife, Michelle. And that's part of their ministry, is ministering to the broken and hurting who have already made that decision. Now, unfortunately, in the church, you hear about this person got an abortion and they're immediately written off. They are probably labeled slut, whore, prostitute, one of these
murderer choice
names, murderer, and they're written off, not realizing that all of us sin. All of us fall short of God's glory. The Bible says that all have sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. And if this person is in this state of remorse, repentance, wanting to turn away, wanting to do something about it, then that's where you come alongside her and you wrap your arms around her and you love her and you remind her that there's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus and that Christ loves her. I mean, that's for my 2 cents.
Yeah, I would also say this. I'd give you the hope. Know this, that your child is in heaven.
Amen.
The child who perished on this earth is in heaven. And if you want to see her again, the only way that you can do that is by not living under the condemnation of sin, but by confessing your sin to Jesus Christ, by letting Christ cleanse you, and understanding that if you let Christ cleanse of your sin, you have him in your heart, then you're going to see your baby again one day.
Yeah.
And you're going to be reunited with your baby in heaven. And that'll be a glorious day where there's no judgment, there's no anger from the baby or from God. But that can be a really glorious moment. But the only way you can do that is if you stop living under the condemnation of sin and start living in a repented state.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do.
And you never know what God can do with this situation. I absolutely recommend going to aspenproject.org, getting in touch with the Schroffs, because this could be a process where in the future she's able to use this experience to maybe help someone who's thinking about making that decision not in a, you know, you're a murderer and you're going to burn type situation, but a, hey, this is real and this is what has happened to me. Because a lot of times these aren't the stories you hear about someone who's had an abortion. It's usually just that God hates abortion and it's murder and, you know, all the throwing from some soapbox somewhere. But what we don't hear a lot of is the women who have made that decision and what it does to you psychologically, how damaging it can be to your body. And if you can be a light to someone else who is contemplating making that decision, man, you never know what God can do with that situation. So, yeah.
And I want to just differentiate between condemnation and guilt, because a lot of times we tell people don't live in condemnation of sin, and they think, well, oh, should I not feel guilty when I do something wrong? But guilt and condemnation are two very different things.
Yeah.
Guilt is a good thing to feel, but guilt can either drive you to repentance or it can drive you to condemnation. If it drives you to condemnation, you just live in this state of constant sorrow.
Right.
You never really change. You never really repent for it. You're just kind of bummed out about it.
Right.
Repentance leads you to acknowledging your sinful state, but acknowledging that Christ is greater,
yeah.
And asking him to come into your life. And when he forgives you of your sin, the Bible says that he takes that sin and puts it as far as the east is from the west. It says that he can take the years the locust has destroyed and make something new out of it, that he washes us white as snow. And when we begin to realize that we're forgiven, we begin to view ourselves in the same light that Christ views us. And that light is in a justified, sanctified state.
Yeah.
And so that requires repentance, though. It requires guilt that leads to repentance. So I just challenge you to come out of that state of condemnation and feel that guilt, let it lead you to repentance, and let it change the way that you live.
Amen. Absolutely. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. If you're feeling so bold as to chime in on Facebook, you can do so there. Or maybe you have been involved in one of the situations that we're going to talk about this morning, and you have some advice or a way that God brought you through a situation, and you just love to share a testimony, you can do that as well. facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or give us a call. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. Let's go to line one. Static.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
We're here. Can't complain.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just wanting to, I want to just give some support to the email you just got. And, you know, I just wanted to say I totally understand the situation. It's probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with in my whole entire life. I myself have had a couple of abortions.
Okay.
And I wanted to just say that, you know, one time I was not of age, so I didn't have a choice per se.
Okay.
But when I was an adult, I did. And I have come to grips with those decisions to a format that I love what you said about, you know, God's not this thumb squashing God, you know. But I wanted to say to the woman that I think the Aspen Project, it's a wonderful situation for her, but I wanted to let her know that, you know, the whole babies being in heaven thing, that is really what has carried me through. And I finally came to grips after many years that after I got past the guilt and the whole, I know God loves me and I know he's not judging me, I finally got past it and realized that, you know, this is going to sound really weird, but I miss my babies. And I'm never going to stop missing my babies. And, you know, I can never change that decision. I can never change it. But I know that because there's a God that loves all of us, even when we fall short, that I know that if I stay on the course, that I will get to heaven and see my babies. And if that's all that woman can hang on to at this point, that's not a bad thing. And, you know, I totally get what she's going through. It is a very difficult, very, very, very difficult thing. especially if you've done it more than once.
Can you speak to the listener, the emailer who emailed in? Because, you know, obviously you're years removed from that situation, and
right.
this is so fresh for her, so fresh in her heart and in her mind and her body, to be able to talk about how to have compassion or what, like, your mind state was at that time?
You know, I got to tell you, my mind state at the time was I couldn't believe that I had done that. I actually couldn't believe that I had actually done it. And it took me a while to get over that. I mean, to be honest, I couldn't believe I killed a person. But, you know, once I realized that God didn't hate me for that and that I could be forgiven, then it calmed me so much. It gave me such a peace in my heart that I can't even understand. I mean, that's why it says that, you know, God gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. And to this woman who has to talk to this friend, listen, an older mentor woman told me something, because she too had had an abortion. And in our early years of mentorship, she explained, and she had said to me, she had read a book about how there is a book out there, and it's about how, it sounds really weird, but I never thought about it like that, how she actually named her child, even though she had taken its life and it was now in heaven. She actually named it even after the fact, years later, and she underwent some intense therapy for it because she was a Christian. And she had said that naming the child, and I would just say to this woman that has this friend, to just, you have to just love on her and definitely keep reassuring her that she's not, you know, a bad person. I mean, as Christians, we all make choices that aren't always the best. Even though we're saved, that doesn't mean we're removed from mistakes and making them. This was something intense, yes, but you know what? God loves her very much, and she needs to be reassured of that, knowing that God loved me and that God is going to be waiting there with my baby. Has really, really given me a lot of comfort. And it's hard for me to talk about now, even though I'm stronger and I don't feel guilt. I want to assure her that that goes away. The guilt goes away. The emptiness of those babies and the fact that I did that never goes away. I'm always going to know that I've got children that are not with me, that I can now not raise because I made those decisions. And that's okay. It's okay that those decisions have been made. They're done. They're over with. They're gone. It's over. Just, it's done. And you can't erase it. And I had to really pound that in my head. You know, hey, you did this. You're done. You know, get over it. I mean, it sounds rude, but after years of carrying it, I had to face that this was going to tear me up for the rest of my life, or I was going to get over it and realize that I get to see them in heaven. You know, hey, I mean, my worst fear was, how will I ever be good enough to get there? Well, then I got over that, realizing that there is not one of us good enough, ever, even on a daily basis when we're at our best. So, you know what? She just needs a lot of compassion right now as far as the guilt goes. She really needs to be reassured that there's no guilt in Christ. There's no. Because why? Because the Bible tells us that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And I just really, really want her to know that. And I'm with her. And, yeah. You know, I'll pray for her because I really get it. And it was really bold to call in. I'm Rutino to email in. And, you know, there's a lot of women out there that suffer with this. And I tell you what, knowing that baby was in heaven, those babies, I should say, plural in my case, it really, really helps. And like I said, the emptiness never goes away because it's a death. No matter how you face life, it's a death.
Yeah,
awesome. But you know what? It's okay because I know that I'll see those babies.
Thanks so much, Kelly.
Thank
Deb.
You. Thanks for the call. Thank you for calling in. I'm gonna run to line two as well.
Are they still there?
Let's see. Static.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I have a question.
Oh, okay.
You guys still taking questions?
We are.
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna put you. I apologize. We were gonna take a quick break, but there was a gentleman online too who had to.
Okay.
Wanted to chime in on on this situation as well, but it looks like we lost that person. So hold on the line just a second. We got to take a quick break. Yeah, darn it, we lost line two. But obviously phone lines are lighting up again. Looks like line one's calling in. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. If you'd like to chime in for Shock Therapy Live, it's Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Yeah, I just want to throw one thing in on that because, I just noticed something and it seems like it's a trend of our culture. And, you know, Kelly Deb was just letting us know. She said someone needs to tell her that, you know, she's not a bad person because of this. She's still a good person. I think that the natural tendency of our culture is when someone does something bad to tell them that they're a good person. That
right.
It's okay. You're not a bad person because of this. And this is the opposite of what we should be doing. And now I don't want to go too far. That means when someone sins, we're like, you're a horrible person. You're right. So bad.
Right.
But the Bible says there is none good. No, not one.
Yeah.
None of us is righteous. None of us does anything of value, of worth, that we're all bad. And I think that a primary problem with sin today is that we all view ourselves as basically good people. And so when we mess up, we can really quickly excuse it and write it off because it's okay. That doesn't make you a bad person. You're still a good person. And so I think we need to understand that, no, we're bad people. But there's hope in that because it means that your sin is no worse than my sin or anyone else's sin. So yeah. When you mess up, I'm not here to tell you, oh, it's okay, you're still a good person. I'm here to tell you, man, you messed up, you're a bad person, but guess what? So am I.
Right.
And so is everyone else on earth. And the beauty of the gospel is that God didn't come to save good people. He came to save bad people.
Yeah.
And if you're a good person, then that means that you have to get to heaven on your own good works. But if you're a bad person, that means that you can't get to heaven anyway except through the way, which is Jesus Christ. And so I think we really need to, if we're really going to remedy the issues of our hearts, we need to view ourselves as we really are. And that is as not basically good people, but as basically bad people.
Yeah.
And so I want to point that out because I think that that's a huge problem with people getting confronted with their sin.
Yeah.
Is that they don't get confronted with necessarily the truth at times.
There you go. I'm glad you clarified that. 505-338-3700, the phone number. I think we got our bro back. Hello, Static.
Hey, what's up, Steve-O?
Hola.
Hey, I just want to kind of give a guy's perspective on this. Me and my now wife have been through one of those things, and it's real touchy, man. It's crazy. We were drug addicts at the time, teenagers. And it was kind of me who kind of pushed it, you know?
Yeah.
And I still think about it, bro, and it's crazy, man. And, I just, you know, it's no matter what situation you're in, no matter what you're going through, you don't have to do that, you know?
Right.
You really don't. But, you know, the ones that have, like my wife, every time there's a commercial or a movie that deals with that, it brings back those old feelings, those old emotions. And even with myself, because then I feel, because I kind of pushed it, you know what I mean? You know, there is a little bit of guilt, you know?
Right.
Not a lot, I mean, not a little, a lot. and just to that girl, man, just, God is good. God is great. And we didn't know Christ. I've never read a scripture in my life. But when we came to God together, there was that hole that was filled.
Yeah.
But I mean, it'll never go away because it'll always come back to you in movies, in conversations, in a situation like this, man. It brought back some old stuff and it made me have a knot in my gut, man.
Yeah.
Just love God and know God, it forgives. And just, man, I mean, it's tough, bro.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it sounds like it's something that's still you carry, that still obviously painful, as you said, every time this type of situation is brought up anywhere. But talk to the teenage dude or the 20-something dude right now that is out there and they have a decision to make, because as you said, you really pushed for it. What would you say to like time machine version of yourself in the past, or to a maybe a 20-something listening right now who's confronted with this situation?
just, I mean, you know, we don't have the right to take a life. I'm just straight up. And it's not worth it because the way you feel after the fact and the way you'll have regret and you don't want that regret. You know, you just think about that life. Think about that life will bring you so much joy.
Yeah.
That life will change your life. You know, and there's something about when you have, because I have two kids. I have a 15-year-old, then we would have had another one, and then I have my daughter who's going to be 12. And what happens is kids will radically change your mentality, man. And it took a little bit, but you're responsible for a life.
Right.
And dude, it will get better. I mean, it might be. We were homeless, man. My mom was kicking us out. We were drug addicts. Her mom didn't want her. My mom didn't want me around. My family was like, no way. We were living in hotels. I mean, dude, and in my mind state at that time, I was like, there's no way we could bring another life into this world. But that is totally a lie from the devil. That is a lie from the enemy, and whatever you do, man, bring that baby in and love that baby. If you don't love yourself, when you love that baby, you'll learn to love yourself.
Hmm.
And it is just don't do it. Don't even think about it. Don't second guess it. Just look at that as a blessing and a way to change your life if you're going through a struggle. You know, it's not worth it. You know, it's really not. And, you know, I love my wife to death, and there's times where she cries on my shoulder still and thinks about it when we lay in bed.
Yeah.
She'll be, all of a sudden, she'll just, you know, bring it up like, man, I wonder if it was going to be a boy or girl, or I wonder, you know, or I wonder how, you know, what she would or he would be doing right now. And it's like, dude, don't do it. Just don't.
Right on.
You know, I mean, and God is so good. And if you're listening to this, you've got to know God somehow or some way. But if you know somebody who doesn't know God, and you got to know the love of God, because the love of God exceeds everything.
There you go.
And man, just this was a Holy Ghost setup for me, man. And I really love you guys and what you guys do, man. And you know, me and my wife we've been back in the fold for a little while. We were away for a minute. And man, God is just good. God is great, man. So
right on. Thank
awesome.
You.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for the call.
All right, man. I love you guys.
Love
Keep
you
up.
Too, bro. All right. It brings up a very interesting point. I know we got to take a break, but something that needs to be said is we talk about how good God is, and He is so good, and He is a God of restoration, a God of redemption, a God of love and grace and mercy. He's also a just God. And here's something that needs to be said. You know, we talk about how, you know, there's nothing you can do that God can't forgive, and this is true. And you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But I think when I was a teenager, when I was younger, it was like, dude, whatever, I can do whatever I want because God's going to forgive me.
Yeah.
And He does forgive. However, there are still earthly consequences that people do not think about. And because of that, they think, I can do this, I can do that. It doesn't really matter. I can make this decision because I know that my God will forgive me. I know that He loves me, so it doesn't really matter what I do. And then you hear broken people who have gone down that road and made those decisions. You hear about the weight that it carries for the rest of people's lives. Mm. You hear about the decisions that they make that, change lives forever, forever. And God is so faithful. He will forgive you of your sin. However, there are still going to be earthly consequences to that sin. And so,
and also know this hope and peace that we talk about isn't just given to everybody. It's not like if you're a non-believer, someone can say, hey, go pray about it and God will give you what you need to get through it. That's
right.
Not true. That hope and peace is reserved exclusively for those who have a life committed to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then you get that hope and that peace.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think a lot of times we talk about people say, oh, well, just go to God with it. If you're not a believer and you go to God with it, it's not necessarily going to do anything. You're not going to get that hope and that peace unless you give your life to Christ. Mm-hmm. You know,
dude, I think of the promise in Jeremiah. He's an amazing God, and a God who keeps His promises. You can trust Him in His promises. And in Jeremiah, He tells us that if you earnestly seek Me, if you seek Me with your whole heart, you will find Me. So maybe you're listening and you're like, yeah, but I don't have that peace. I don't have that joy. I don't know what that's like. Dude, he's got a pretty great promise, and he's never, ever, ever not kept a promise.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, if you seek him, you will find him. If you seek him with your whole heart.
You know, I was watching a show the other night, and it really struck a chord with me because I was like, man, that's humanity today. There was this guy, and he had slept with multiple women. He had just killed two people. He ran a drug, gun, and prostitution ring. And after all of this, he decided that he was going to go to church. And so he goes to church. He confesses to the priest, and he comes out, and he says, oh, I feel better. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, man, this is so many people. They just live their lives, do whatever the heck they want to, and they think that somehow if they come and they just say, hey, sorry, that it's going to be better. But that's not repentance. That's just being sorry.
Right.
You know, if I were to come up to you and punch you in the face and then say sorry and then keep doing it over and over again, you would question the authenticity of my apology.
Right.
You know, it's not true unless I stop doing it, you know? And so a lot of people just want to keep doing it again and again. Sorry, boom, sorry, boom, sorry, boom, sorry. And God gets to a point where he's like, hey, you know, stop in vain repetition praying to me and saying sorry when you don't mean it. It's like the Pharisees wailing and tearing their clothes, and all you're doing is bringing more condemnation upon yourself because you're never in true sincerity repenting for your sin.
Whew. Halfway through the show.
Take a break.
Man! It's been a good show so far, dude.
Give me a break.
Shock Therapy Live, and yes, we do have to take a quick break. Questions? 505-338-3700. I know we had a couple phone calls and, you know, throughout the course of the show. It gets jammed. Be patient. 505-338-3700. Phone lines are open. You can also get a question in if you'd like to keep it anonymous through our email, studio@mystaticradio.com. Right back with more of your questions right here on Shock Therapy Live. Static Radio. In just 7 days, Static Radio will begin our biannual share-a-thon. It's your opportunity as a listener to come alongside us financially to support the ministry and music programming we've dedicated ourselves to provide. At Static Radio, we've seen lives changed for the better and our community become a little nicer place to be. Between now and Wednesday, October 2nd, when we start our 3-day event, pray about your commitment to support us as we continue to drown out the noise here on Static Radio.
Sunday night, September 29th, Calvary Albuquerque hosts Harvest America. Hear the gospel message from Greg Laurie, live in Philadelphia.
It's time for you to leave the past in the past and accept the complete and total forgiveness of Jesus Christ.
And live music on the Calvary Albuquerque stage with Firefly, plus world-class skateboarder Christian Hassoy. Come at 4 for soft toys, food, and more. Harvest America at Calvary Albuquerque, Sunday, September 29th. Details, calvaryabq.org.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back.
Yes.
It is Shock Therapy Live. Phone line open, 505-338-3700.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
Yep. Yeah. You want to go to line one? We still have a bunch of email questions to get to, but phone calls take priority. So
yes.
Line one. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going.
It goes.
How are you?
I am good. Just a little confused with my issues here. Okay. Thought I'd give you guys a call.
All right. Thanks
Let's
for calling.
It. Let's hear it.
Well, I am confused about attending a same-sex marriage. I don't support it. I don't believe in it, but I accept it as part of society, I guess, because it's happening regardless. So I accept it, meaning I don't discriminate or I don't treat anybody differently that way.
Okay.
So we've been invited to a sibling's wedding at the end of October. And that's my only family. I have no parents or anybody else left. And I'm afraid if I don't go, they'll disconnect communication with me.
Right.
But I don't feel like I can go.
Man, this is, perfect timing. I actually was just discussing this, differently, but the same, with a few friends a few weeks ago, because we were all talking about attending a wedding. And Man, I will tell you right now, I apologize because my answer is going to be interesting and it's not an easy thing to answer because I'll tell you both sides. Because you said, you know, hey, I don't treat them differently. I accept it as part of society, but I don't condone it. But I guess by not attending, would you be then in turn treating them differently? Because you're saying I wouldn't want to attend. But on the flip side, for me, it's like, well, I believe in Hooters. They're a part of society, and that's a restaurant that I probably wouldn't attend or go to because I don't agree with it because it's degrading to women. But
yeah. I'm just going to say this is what I would say.
Okay.
The Bible says in Romans about the end times that the issue wasn't just with those who were sinning, but those who were approving of those who did such things. And I think there's a lot of things in society that we don't go to because we don't approve of it. You know, if I had a brother or a sister who was a porn star and they invited me to their porn awards because they were going to win, you know, what, the Grammy of porn, I wouldn't go to that because I don't approve of the lifestyle that they're living. I wouldn't go to support their accomplishment or what they're proud of because it's not something to be proud of. And by going to a wedding, you're acknowledging that you're there to support. You know, the idea of going to a wedding is you're there to support the couple. That's why we have an audience that comes. That's why we have witnesses to say that they're going to hold this couple accountable, that they're going to be there to support them. And by going to a marriage, a same-sex marriage, as a Christian, you can't go there and say, I support what you're doing. You can't go there with a congratulatory spirit because you're really not supporting the lifestyle that they're living. And so to go to something like that, for me at least, is a sign of showing your approval for what they're doing. Mm. And that becomes a sin, to approve of someone else's sin. And it's a really, really difficult thing to go into. And so we actually had a question like this before on shock therapy. And what we told the person is to sit down with your brother and have a conversation with him and tell him, hey, I love you, and I'll always be here for you, but I can't come to this wedding not because I don't love you, but because I don't agree with what you're doing.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I don't ever want to talk to you. I'd still love to go to dinner with you and your husband, you know, but I'm not going to go to the wedding because I don't support what is happening at that wedding, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I would say.
Yeah, it's funny. I was a few weeks ago, someone I love dearly was getting married, and it wasn't a same-sex marriage, but if we're talking about marriage and God's perspective and God's idea for marriage, we talk about being unequally yoked and not being unequally yoked. We talk about marriage greatly, and so why would it be any different for a same-sex marriage or a Buddhist marriage, which is what I was going to be attending. It was a marriage between a guy who was at one time a believer, who walked away, and I don't know, is now Buddhist or whatever. And so we were invited, and this person is a very dear friend. And so do you attend the wedding even though you completely disagree with it because the person they are marrying is not a believer in anything and this person, you know, is now a Buddhist and are we condoning what they're doing? And in that situation between me and a few of the other friends of ours who are believers, we prayed about it and we discussed it greatly. Like, do we attend this wedding? Are we condoning what they're doing, even though we don't agree with it? And we had to search scripture, and the book of Colossians talks about how we treat outsiders, or non-believers. And both of them being non-believers, it says be gracious to outsiders. You keep your speech seasoned with salt, but knowing how you ought to answer each person. So big question for me is your sibling a confessing Christian?
No.
Okay.
And
that honestly kind of changes it a little bit for me because the truth is these people both not believers. I didn't agree necessarily with it, but at the same time, who is that person going to turn to when things suck? Because marriage is difficult in and of itself. And if it's a marriage that's not founded in Jesus Christ, chances are it's going to be rocky and it could fail. And who is that person going to turn to in times of trouble? And the consensus was, we don't necessarily agree with what's happening. None of us were in the wedding. But at the same time, I love that person greatly, and I want that person to know that I am here for them through anything. And I had to be very careful with my wording even because I absolutely did not want to walk up and say, congratulations, I'm so happy for you, because that would have been a lie. And so I couldn't do that. But at the same time, I walked up to said person and said, hey, I love you very much, and I want you to know that I'm always here for you. And had to leave it at that. And that wasn't a same-sex marriage. That was just another marriage that is not biblically, you know, what God would call, hey, this is what marriage looks like to me. But there were non-believers, and
yeah,
so...
Yeah, I feel like that verse, Colossians, that you're bringing up there, doesn't necessarily apply to supporting of sin.
Right.
And so I feel like being gracious with non-believers has a line that is drawn. And I feel like that line, you know, to be gracious with a non-believer doesn't mean you have to go support them in all the sin that,
right.
that they're doing. You know,
yeah.
Again, I use the illustration, if they were a porn star, I wouldn't go to their porn convention and support them
yeah.
there. If they were a drug addict, I wouldn't go to their drug deal and just kind of stand by and say, hey, I'm here for you. You
right.
know, I wouldn't be a part of the sin that they're committing.
Yeah.
And so being gracious, I feel, doesn't carry into the mindset of supporting what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so that's where I feel, you know, again, because we know it's not a thing where we're questioning like, man, is this right or is this wrong? We know that what they're doing is wrong.
Right.
And especially for me at a wedding is a place where, again, as a member of that audience, as a member of that invited party, you're sitting there, and just by being there without saying anything, your presence there is showing that you're supporting what is happening. Again, it's supposed to be a joyous day, a celebration.
Right.
And we can't sit there as a Christian and be viewed as, yes, I'm supporting this. Yes, I celebrate this, you know, because we don't.
Yeah.
And so I feel like you can still be gracious with the non-believer. You can still be gracious with your brother. And that's why I say sit down and talk to him. And you can still show him love and again, have your speech seasoned with salt. But at the same time, you don't have to support the sin that he's going to be living in.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's a distinction and a line that needs to be drawn there for a believer.
As we said, man, tough decision. So keep praying about it. And, yeah, cause I mean, I agree with that. That's why it's so difficult, for me personally, because it was something that we just went through, and we all together collectively ended up going, after talking about it and praying about it. And, you know, maybe Nate's right. Like maybe being there is condoning what is happening, even though you don't. So it's a tough one.
Here's what
I wish. I really wish we knew if when Jesus attended that wedding in and he performed his first miracle, if we knew they were believers or not. Because then we go, well, there's a scripture right here, and he was at this wedding, and they weren't believers. So boom. But we don't know that. So
yeah,
it's one of those. Talk to your sibling. Pray. And know how you ought to respond to that person. So.
Yeah, you know, and when I think through Jesus, I think that Jesus was always, he was always there for anyone. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. He was always there to talk to them. But at the same time, that's where I think through the fact that Jesus didn't go and support the acts that these people were doing. You know, he didn't tell the woman at the well, hey, you know, why don't we go over to your house and see what's going on over there? You know, he told her that she was forgiven of her sin, but at the same time, he didn't condone or support that. And so, you know, it really is a hard thing. It is a hard line to draw. And for a believer, especially, it's something you really got to battle through, and it's something you really got to pray through. And you got to search the scripture through, like Steve-O was saying, and come to that decision.
Because I'll tell you right now, being there and sitting there, I was uncomfortable, I was frustrated, and it affected me the entire weekend. And I didn't think it was going to as badly as it did, but I was pretty broken up for the rest of the weekend because I was sitting there and I was watching, and it was like, man, under whose authority is this marriage happening? Because it's obviously not under God, so I guess civil?
And see, in a situation like that too, where I go is if I feel uncomfortable like that, wherever I'm at, if I'm in a movie or I'm somewhere else, usually I take that as the Holy Spirit, where I'm like, man, I shouldn't be here. You know, this isn't where I should be. And so, you know, if you have that uncomfortable feeling about going to this wedding, what I would tell you is you probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because that's the Holy Spirit. That's the conviction, that God brings of sin that gives you that feeling that this is wrong. I shouldn't go to this. And if you feel that conviction where you say, man, I shouldn't go to this, then you shouldn't go. Don't go, because you'll feel that same feeling.
Yeah.
So, but again, I would just pray through it and see how the Lord leads you.
Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
All right. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Going to keep the phone line. Phone line's been jammed all day, so. Static!
Hi. I have a couple of predicaments. I don't know which is worse.
Okay.
The first one is that my husband, after 20, 30 years of Christianity, has become an agnostic. And that's really affected me and my children. But the second thing is, and I've spoken to you all about this before, he has become a cross-dresser. He's not out of the closet. I'm the only one that knows. But it's gotten worse.
Do you mean out of the closet as in cross-dressing, or are we talking homosexuality here?
Oh, not homosexuality, okay. Just cross-dressing.
Sorry. Well, that term's usually like coined for, yeah, I just wanted to clarify so we could
discuss. Oh, sorry, yeah. Nobody else knows but me. Okay. He's military. He's very macho. You wouldn't even dream of this. You wouldn't even think.
Yeah.
No, right. Nobody would yeah, even right. believe it.
I remember you calling him before. I remember
right.
you.
Yeah, and he's gotten worse. I've come home, and he's been ordering clothes, lingerie. He's been wearing my stuff. He's been getting into, he has been watching gay and straight porn. I've been researching the history on the computer and finding that out. He's been wanting to explore new toys, things like that, and it's just getting over the edge. And I've always been, and he's always witnessed me being showing unconditional love to my children and to their friends. Our house is the house that everybody came to hang out. Our house is the house that the kids who were troubled would come to.
Yeah.
And he always saw me demonstrating unconditional love to everybody. And I have been demonstrating that to him. But I'm beginning to get sick from it. I'm literally physically sick. I've been in the hospital twice for some serious illnesses. On the flip side, he takes very good care of me. I've been able to stay home. I have some serious illnesses. I'm disabled. And he takes very good care of me. He loves me. And I do love him, but in my heart, I just know it's not right, and I don't know where to go from here.
Have you spoken to him about it?
I have, to an extent, in the extent that my daughter came home one day and almost caught him, because he likes to strut around the whole house wearing his, we only have one kid at home now. And he likes to strut around the house wearing stuff. I mean, he likes full makeup. He has a wig. He full-on dresses up.
Now, and here's a great question that I have, because you talk about how the fact that he hasn't, quote-unquote, come out of the closet about his cross-dressing, he keeps it to the house. It's something that he likes to do at home. He wears wigs. He wears makeup. But obviously, no one else in his line of work, his military buddies, his whatever, no, he hasn't talked to anyone about it?
No.
I would immediately address that issue right there. Obviously, because if it's something that feels good to him and it's acceptable and it's okay, then why does he feel like he has to hide it at home?
Because he feels like that's part of him that has to come out. He feels like that's been a part of him since he's a little boy.
You know, why wouldn't he be able to express it everywhere? That would be my question. Then, if it's something that's acceptable and it's something that he feels like is a part of him and he has to express, then shouldn't he want to express it? Why is he, quote unquote, hiding it at home?
He wants to, but he wants to go to another city to do it.
Wow.
Where nobody knows him.
What did we tell you to do last time? I remember your
about,
call.
I know Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy immediately, I had never read that scripture before in my life, but we knew that immediately Deuteronomy spoke plainly about men dressing in women's attire and whatnot.
Yeah.
But
what else did we tell you? Yeah. What advice did we give you?
In the past?
Yeah, when you called in before and brought up this issue, because I remember you called in and we were able to talk to you. I just want to know what we had told you to do last time.
To confront him on it.
Okay.
And I couldn't, because it would break his heart, because he thinks I love him and accept him just the way he is unconditionally.
You can love him, but that doesn't mean you have to accept what he's doing.
Yeah, I love my kids greatly, but if they're doing something that is wrong, I'm pretty sure because I love them, I'm going to tell them that what they're doing is wrong because I don't want to see harm come to them.
I mean, if my wife was having an affair with another man, I would confront her on that.
Right.
And I would let her know I do not accept what she's doing.
Right.
I love her, but that doesn't mean I have to accept everything she does.
Right.
And I think, again, you know, until you muster up the courage through Jesus to confront him on this, there's nothing really else that can be done, because right now, all that's happening is, you know, and again, I feel for you on this, but all that's happening is you're feeling this intense anguish and pain, but you're not doing anything about it. You're calling into radio shows.
He doesn't believe that it's wrong. He believes this is a part of him and that he's supposed to be doing this. He doesn't believe it's wrong.
That's what every person who sins says.
Right, that's
every
sin.
That's what every serial killer says. They say it's a part of them. That's what every homosexual says, pedophile says, drug addict says, alcoholic says. They all say that they're a part of it, that's a part of them. That doesn't make it right. The Bible says that we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we're born into sin, that right. from our mother's womb, we're contemplating evil and we're attempting to sin.
Right.
And so, you know, we're born into sin. We're all born bad. That doesn't mean that we get to give into that or we get to do that. You know, just because we're born a certain way or we have a certain desire doesn't make it right. And so there's a big difference between, do I believe that maybe he was born with the desire to do this? Sure. Does that make it right?
No.
Definitely not.
No.
You know? And so that's what he needs to understand, is that just because he feels the need to do something doesn't mean you act on that. I mean, that's basic parenting 101. You tell your kids, don't take that toy. I don't care if you want it and you feel like you want it right now. Don't take it because your sister's playing with it. You know? the basic concept of being raised up as a child is to understand you don't get to do everything you want to do.
Right.
There's certain things you oppress because they're not right. There's certain things you push away, and even if you desire to do them your entire life, you don't do them because it's not good to do. And so he needs to have this understanding that just because he wants to do it doesn't mean that he should do it. And if he just gives into it, he's like a child. He's like, I want to do this. Give me my rattler. Give me my bottle. And that's what he's kind of doing right now. He's just doing what he wants to do, and it's like a child. And at some point, as a man, we need to get to a place where we put away childish things. Mm-hmm. We don't do the childish things anymore, but we do what we're supposed to do. And so I think that he needs to get a clear understanding that just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean you act that way. And again, I think you need to confront him on this.
Yeah.
Again, you need to do it in love and in honor and respect, but you need to talk to him about it. And until you do, there's nothing else that's going to help. You know, there's not any kind of like I wish that I could give you some kind of like a rain dance incantation that if you say this, your husband will stop wearing female clothes.
Right.
But that doesn't exist. And I can't give you something like that. I can't give you a magical verse that if you read it three times over him while he sleeps, he'll stop cross-dressing.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, and until you get to a place where you're willing to confront this sin and you're willing to deal with it, there's nothing else that can be done. It doesn't matter how many times you call into here. We'll be able to talk you down for a little bit, make you feel better for a day, but it's not going to get better until you talk to him, until you confront it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe there's some fear there because, as you mentioned, you're disabled and he loves you and takes care of you. And there could be worry of, you know, well, if I talk to him, I don't want to upset him. I don't want him to think that I don't love him. So maybe don't think of it as a confrontation, but as a discussion that greatly needs to happen. I don't know what you need to do to make it happen, but you absolutely have to communicate to him because it's killing you right now. You said that you've been ill, that you've been in and out of the hospital. It's obviously affecting your mentality, your body, your everything. And so it's going to eat at you and eat at you and eat at you because you know this is wrong until you confront the issue. And so it's not just going to go away.
Yeah.
It's not, I know that it's a hopeful, like maybe this is just a 5-minute phase, but
it's going to get worse.
You called in a solid 6 months to a year ago on this issue. It's been a while now, I believe. And so.
And this is the thing, I'm going to tell you this and it's going to scare you, but it's true. It's going to get worse. If you don't address it, it's going to get worse. And eventually this homosexual porn that he's looking on, eventually he'll attempt to act on it.
Because here's
eventually
the thing,
he'll attempt to go further.
If everything seems right now and he keeps, because last time it was, no, he's totally macho and he's straight, but he sometimes likes to dress, and now it's like, oh, by the way, he's buying crazy clothes and he's makeuping
he
up.
He struts around
and
in a wig and looks at gay pornography.
And he's watching gay porn. It's already gotten progressively worse. And so if you just confront the issue now,
Yeah.
There's only one of two things are going to happen. Either you're going to confront the issue and either he's going to get really upset and decide, well, you just don't understand me. Or B, he's going to maybe discuss it openly and say, okay, maybe there's some things about this that aren't acceptable.
And just so you know, I'm going to prep it for you. He's probably going to get upset.
Yeah.
He's probably going to get upset. Well, he's probably.
He's very biblical. He has a ton of biblical knowledge. He's very wise in that.
Even the demons believe in truth.
Who's to judge this? Who's to judge me?
God.
Who says this is wrong?
Jesus.
Yeah, but he doesn't believe that because he's agnostic.
Okay.
So then he doesn't believe in the Bible. So again,
no, he's agnostic.
So this is why this is so stupid.
Right.
Is if he says, "Well, who's to judge me? God." Well, that doesn't matter. I don't believe in the Bible. Well, this is what you got to understand. You got to say, "Well, look, I do believe in the Bible, and even apart from the Bible, this isn't normal behavior."
Right.
You
know, even if it's normal, acceptable behavior, then he's strutting in front of everybody, and it shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But there's a check in his spirit. There's something that tells him this is not acceptable. So I'm going to have to move to another city to out myself.
Let's go tell your military friends.
But why? If there's no morality, if there's no God, if it doesn't matter because there's no judge, then what he's doing isn't wrong, then he should be able to be open and free about it in front of everybody. But obviously, there's something that's not right about it, so he's not willing to do that. So there is some form of morality. So who is that hierarchy that is saying that that's not acceptable?
Yeah.
Because there obviously is something inherently within him that says, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
So if there's no God, then where's that coming from?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
So I'm sorry. I hate to get combative, but it's frustrating. And I wish, there's all the wishful thinking in the world doesn't matter. But wishing that you had confronted the issue before, and that's why it's so important to have talked about this with him, because obviously it's just gotten progressively worse and worse and worse. And you got to confront this issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just such a sensitive issue that I have to find a good strategy to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, again, I guess my question is, how far into sin does he have to fall until you're willing to confront it? If he's sleeping with a man because he wants to act out on that, are you just going to say, well, I want to support him. I want to know that I love him. You know, if he decides to, you know, go into necrophilia, I'm not saying he would, but you know, at what point of sin do we confront someone on it? Yeah. At what point do we say, this is wrong, I'm not going to stand idly by while they do this? At what point does that happen, you know? Yeah. Because until then, right now, you're in essence telling him that you approve of what he's doing because you're not telling them that he shouldn't be doing it. And so, you know, you've got to come to this place where you get that courage from the Lord and you go confront him and you go talk to him. And we'll be praying for you to do that. But it's got to happen.
Amen. All right. Unfortunately, we are out of time. This hour flew by.
Man, a lot of crazy questions.
If you missed any part of Shock Therapy Live, there is a podcast, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. And we do this every single Wednesday. We'll re-air this again this Sunday evening at 7 p.m., part of Static U. If you have questions, if you'd like to keep them anonymous, we take them throughout the week.
Yes.
Studio@mystaticradio.com. The email questions we weren't able to get to this week, I promise we will address them next week. But once again, thanks to everybody listening and calling in for Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Yes.
We'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.